Thank you, Lord. Now, let's not waste any time. Let's just jump right into a message. Let me see all the Bibles. If you have a Bible, hold it up. I want to see it. I love doing this because this is how I tell which side to preach on. And thank you for bringing your word this morning. I want you to turn into it to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Everybody that is here watching us, I hope you're watching us and not Williamson County Cowboy Church that I see, but that's different, huh? Okay, good. Praise God. What I see is different from what you see, I guess. Amen. My monitor is seeing things. Hopefully you're tuned in. Welcome you from all over the country. Honor to be able to preach the engrafted word to you this morning. And then all of you that are here, thank you for being here. What a great crowd. I want to minister a message that that I believe will impact all of our lives this morning. If I titled it, it would be, "Don't Be Limited, Be an Overcomer." Let me say it again. Don't be limited, be an overcomer. I think that a lot of times people struggle because they're limited in different ways. I mean, most of us know when we're young, we've got this dream and goal and vision of what we want to do in life. And then it seems like we get a little bit older and some of those dreams haven't come true. We get tired, beat up, things happen that maybe were unexpected. And before you know it, we have lost the goal and the dream and the desire that might have been placed on your heart by God. Now, obviously, that's, you know, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you know, we understand that dream or vision is not from Him. And so you can judge that. I'm not going to judge it. I mean, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. Say amen to that. I think we've been confused in this world to not know what's right and wrong anymore. Until you get some bold preachers that will tell you what the Word of God says. And if it says it, we're going to believe it. I'll just tell you right off that I believe that in order to populate the earth, it's going to take a man and a woman to do it. And not anything other than that. And so we can't be afraid to say those things in these days. Because again, the devil wants us to not live by this word. He doesn't want us to see the benefits of living in the kingdom of God. He wants to bring up all kinds of obstacles and attacks in one's life to try to stop a dream or a goal from happening. And so I say this morning, we're not going to let that happen. That man, we get our faith up there to where we live by God's word and His word alone. And that we don't back up and go back to the days of unbelief or the days before you gave your life to Jesus. That we move on in the kingdom of God and start seeing the benefits of living by God's ways of doing things. You know, Matthew clearly said it, that if you'll seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all the things will be added unto you. Now, you've got to study out that word kingdom, because a lot of people get real confused about the kingdom of God. And a lot of times they think it's talking about the place called heaven. When in all reality, it is His kingdom, heaven. But it's also talking about the method on how you and I are supposed to live as Christians here on this earth like heaven. The method is found in the Word of God. How are we supposed to live? Well, it's not... I think it's pretty obvious that we're to live the way Jesus lives. Matter of fact, he said to be a doer of the Word of God. And so when we talk about goals and dreams and limitations and those kind of things, then we need to see what God has to say about those things and not allow a devil to try to come and steal them from us, to kill and destroy. Would you agree with that? And so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, say amen if you're there. Look at verse 1 with me, please. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. This is the Apostle Paul talking. For I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Someone say that with me. Say power.
Power.
Say it again, y'all. Power. Because if you don't understand the power of God, then that's why the enemy comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy your life. That's why the devil tries to run you off and take you back to the days of sin, calling you unrighteous and all those things. But I'm here to tell you, when you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, oh man, victory is on your side. I mean, you have the keys to the kingdom. Now listen to me. We've already declared today that we're not going to have a dead church service. Do you agree with that? That means you're going to have to receive the engrafted word that will change your life this morning and not just be there to receive in your ear and then not do it. Because, man, we need to be doers of this word. I am give out seeing people attacked by the devil and feeling like they don't have any remedy to defeat that. But you and I do. We have the word of God. We have his kingdom, praise God. We have his ways of doing things. And it's going to take all of us to not get so passive in our walk with God that we actually do the opposite and we get so excited about what Jesus did for us that it causes the devil to know that he's defeated and he can't mess with you when he knows he's defeated. Someone say amen. Don't make me get you excited. Because I'm here to tell you, the devil does not want you to see your dream or goal come to pass. So there's something about the power. Now that word power is literally translated dunamis power. And we all know what dunamis power is, right? Because dunamis power is the same power that God had to raise Jesus from the dead. And we have that dunamis power living on the inside of us because Jesus is the Lord of our life, you see. So here the Apostle Paul is saying, look, my speech, verse 4, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but he wanted to demonstrate something. The demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Of the power. In other words, he wanted to see signs and wonders follow us that believe. He didn't want us just to come to church and then walk out of here kind of feeling good or a little bit better. I know a lot of people that say they go to church and feel worse when they leave. I mean, the spirit of, and I rebuke this in Jesus' name. I'm not going to allow it to come into this church, but I rebuke that spirit of religion. Because you know what? That is not God. Religion is not God. Religion is a way we've always done it. It's a traditional way of doing things. But the Bible says to be led by the Spirit of God, because we're sons of God. I mean, I want to hear from him. I want to see people saved in this church, healed in this church, delivered in this church, and set free to the glory of God. I don't want us just to, well, you know, that just may be the way I was born. I've got this problem and the doctors confirmed it. And then you live and be settled with that. But man, I'm telling you, if you get a hold of who you are in Christ Jesus, you'll start speaking to your body. And you'll command it to line up with the Word of God and be healed by His stripes. You'll start seeing some things changing in your life. And you'll start being that overcomer that God wants you to be. You'll start seeing that demonstrated power of God working in your life. Matter of fact, you'll start seeing people changing all around you. They'll be coming up to you saying, hey, pray for me, man. I need what you have. But the enemy, ooh, man, he's attacking today more than any other time. He's trying to get people so confused. Why isn't he doing that for me? Well, there's a lot of whys. And when you start looking on the inside and finding out that it may just be because of the things that are coming out of your mouth. You know, that defeated attitude of, well, it just, you know, it just keeps happening to me. It's just my luck. And then you find out that, wait a minute, do you believe in luck? Because they used to call old Satan old lucky. So why in the world would we allow stuff like that to come out of my mouth? Good luck. Now, I know it's not with a wrong heart. It's just that sometimes when we don't understand and we haven't been taught the Word of God because we haven't spent a lot of time in it, then the enemy then can get us off and get us away from that goal, that vision, that plan, that excitement that you had when you gave your life to Jesus. I remember that was me. Wow. I was 10 years old. I was at Oldest Baptist Church. And I'll never forget, at a vacation Bible school, coming home to mom and dad and said, and I walked down the aisle, you know. And I was scared, shaking. But I said, Mom, Dad, I gave my life to Jesus. And I'll never forget the excitement they had, of course, but I was so excited. Matter of fact, went to a camp when I was 13, and some things happened to me that I'd never experienced before. I believe that's when I actually got filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, I didn't understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost that Acts chapter 1, 2 talks about. But man, I knew I had this fire for God to tell people about Jesus like I'd never had before. Man, I was excited. But then, little time went on. High school, man, it was, everybody would come to me if they had trouble in their relationships or whatever. Hey, would you pray for me? I go into my first year of college and same thing. People would come to my dorm room to, talk about their girlfriends and boyfriends and so on. And it was a great time. We'd pull out the Bible. We'd start looking at it. I'd have Bible study and then here someone else would come. And it was just like over and over. And then one day a heartbreak happened in my life. And I had a decision to make. I could either go down the road mom and dad had trained me up in, the road to God, the road to forgiveness, the road to comfort, or I could go down this road, the road that led to sin. And most of you know that for 2 years I went this way. I was the one that was called in the ministry. I was the one that was raised in the ministry, my dad being a pastor in 1970. I was the one that would sing with my mom and dad at all the rodeos and And all of the church services, I would watch my dad pastor or lead the singing, and my mom would sing, and I watched all this, and everything was great, but here I chose this way. And regrettably, for 2 years, I was the one where the party was. It was at my house. People were like, wow, what a change. What a change. And just little by little, I started forgetting about some of those goals and some of those dreams and some of the visions that I had implanted on the inside of me about what my future was going to be like. Little by little, because of sin. I didn't know who I was in Christ Jesus. I mean, I knew about him. I knew all the stories. But man, I had backed away from knowing him. Didn't have a thing to do with my salvation. Get that out. I mean, there's denominations that preach if you sin and don't ask for forgiveness, you can lose your salvation if you die. Come on, y'all. We can get all mixed up now. There's a way you can lose your salvation, but the only way to do it is you would have to do exactly what you did to get saved by denying Satan and all his works, and you receive Jesus, right? You would have to do that to lose your salvation. You would have to deny Jesus and all his works and receive Satan. We're not going to do that, amen? That'd be foolish. But just because you sin doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. So I didn't have anything to do with my salvation. It's called being backslidden. And I had to get a hold of myself like that prodigal son had to do. And say, come on, man. Come on back. The arm is opened wide. I just want to receive you back the way that we were before. You see, and it wasn't God that left me, because he was always there. Matter of fact, he declared that he would never leave me or forsake me. Just because, and I've heard that old religious teaching a lot, you know. You separate. No, the Bible says that nothing can separate us from God's love. I don't care. Okay, but the sin is what then cost me from not inheriting the kingdom of God. So we go back to that scripture that, in Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Well, again, the kingdom is the method on how we're supposed to live, which is this Bible. The place called heaven is different, because it's a place, man, we're going to get to go there one day. But while we're here, we're supposed to live heaven here on this earth. And if you don't, then you won't inherit God's ways of doing things. What is that? How about peace? You won't inherit the true peace of God that passes understanding. So guess what we do? We go try to find ways to inherit peace, worldly peace. Drugs, alcohol, flesh, I mean, you name it. We all know though, and just say amen if you agree with that, but we all know that peace is not everlasting. It's only temporary. Would y'all agree with that? Because that drunk or that drunkenness of the 2 years in my life, I always felt pretty bad the next day. Am I the only one that's here this morning? There's that guilt. Ooh, that condemnation. I can't believe you would be preaching one day and then having the party at your house the next. Guilt, condemnation. How many of you know that didn't come from God? Because he's not a God of guilt or condemnation. He was convicting me though. Come on, brother. Come on, son, you can do it. Look at this. The demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm sure I can go across this congregation and we can have testimony after testimony of things that you've either gone through or you're going through right now. And they may not be pleasant, but I'm here to tell you there's victory. There's victory, man. There's victory in Christ Jesus, but what we do is we start limiting ourselves in the victory. I was thinking about the children of Israel. And here they're in the promised land or trying to get to it. God rained down manna to feed them grain. If they were thirsty, there was one time that he smited a rock. You remember that? The rock was, and it opened up and it started gushing water out. Man, they were thirsty. And he provided that for these people, these children. He sent meat in abundance. He guided them by a south wind. Flip over to Psalm 78 real fast. I mean, he was being a blessing to the children of Israel, providing in every way. Psalms 78. He gave them bread. And look what they did, verse 40 of Psalm 78. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert, yea. They turned back and tempted God, and look at this, and limited the Holy One of Israel. Have you ever heard that saying, you know, sky's the limit? Anybody ever heard that? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that before. You know, sky's the limit. Not for a Christian. Not for us. Because we're not limited. Heaven is the limit. We ought to change that instead of saying, you know, sky's the limit. I mean, it was said and probably again with the right heart, but really it doesn't make sense because I don't want just the benefits that reach the sky. I want the benefits that God has for you and I that are like heaven. I want that joy of the Lord that Nehemiah talked about that strengthens us in the midst of a trial and tribulation. You know, I want what heaven has to offer you and I. I want relationships that are rekindled. I want health to be all over me and not sickness and disease. I want the peace, the true peace of God, even when I don't understand why I'm going through some things. You see, I don't want limits on me. Kind of like when they were limiting God and in Matthew chapter 17, if you want to turn there, do it. But if not, I remember when Peter was needing to get his taxes paid. And what happened? In verse 27 of 17, Matthew's gospel, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, Jesus said, cast a hook, take up the fish that first comes up, and when you've opened his mouth, you're going to find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. In other words, see, he said, take it, give it to them, pay the temple tax for me, and for yourself. You see, God is a God that will provide no matter what. I remember Jehoshaphat. You remember that story? What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about not being limited by anything. Because God doesn't limit us. Again, heaven is the limit. I mean, he's given us everything. The keys to the kingdom. He's given us the word. He's given us his name. That at the name of Jesus, Every demon has to flee. Jehoshaphat here, man, he's being surrounded by a multitude of army every direction. Remember what he does? He starts fasting and praying. The Lord says, start singing a worship song. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. And I'm talking in the natural, man, it was wild. Here they come. And he just had a little old army. They were overtaking him, but because he decided to not be limited in any way, y'all know what happened? The Bible says that the multitude of armies got confused and started killing each other. It didn't stop there, though. You know what happened? God says, hey, all that remnant, all their possessions that they own, I want you to go get it. In other words, not only did God save them from that big army, would have killed them all. But because that they decided to not limit God and they began to trust him no matter what, they became overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They were blessed in a huge way just because of their faithfulness to not limit God. Now listen, there's two sources of limits. The one we place on us and the limit someone else places on us. Jesus says in Luke chapter 18 verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible to God. I always use Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Why would we limit ourselves? And why would we allow someone else to limit us? I mean, I bet most of you have heard someone try to limit you. Oh, you can't do that. You're not good enough. Oh, there's no way. You wasn't born. You don't have enough money to do that. I mean, and the limitations come, and constantly. But no, when you speak the word of God, when you begin to speak that word, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do it. I'm not defeated. Well, man, watch what happens. That's when the window of heaven opens and pours out that blessing. Do not be limited. No, be an overcomer. God wants you to overcome in everything. So I want to leave you with 9 characteristics of overcomers. These need to be you. You need to live by every one of these. Because if you do, you won't be the one that is defeated by the enemy. You won't be the one that has decided, well, that must not be God, or it's this goal or this dream's not going to come to pass in my life. I'm too old. I'm too young. I mean, all the excuses and the limitations that we put on ourselves and we allow others to put on us, they're just going to go away if we would begin to say, no, I am an overcomer. So I want you to live this way. You ready? Number one. Uncompromising integrity. This was preached to us at Copeland's conference, and man, I when I started seeing these things, I go, I want to have uncompromising integrity. Because you notice we're not seeing a lot of these things anymore. We're seeing the rebellious of children controlling moms and dads because of the fear of discipline. No. There's something about a good old butt whipping. Come on. I mean, kids aren't in here, so you can say amen. There's something about saying, you will not talk to me like that. Do you hear me? I mean, take the TV out of the room. Go grab their phones and take them away. Watch what happens when you do that nowadays. Well, it freaks them all out. There's something about uncompromising integrity. A characteristic of an overcomer is someone with a high, this is number two, high personal levels of energy. Oh man, they're not defeated. They're not too tired. I mean, it may take some work too, but man, when you want to overcome something, someone with a high personal level of energy is what it's going to take to be an overcomer in these days. Because the rest of the world, they're going to give up. They're not going to want to work for something. That's why, thank God, we're doing that co-op next year here at Harvest Ranch. And we're going to teach kids about manners. We're going to teach them about not giving up. We're going to teach them those kind of things to morals. What's wrong with morals? Why don't we teach? I heard a statistic that the millennials, and this was it was said by a minister this weekend at the conference that we had, Cowboy Ministers Network Conference. And I heard that 70% of young millennials, what is millennials ages that we looked it up? It's like ages. Yeah, when you were born at 82 or you were born up to 2000 in that area. So, you know, whatever that is, 82, 92, 102, in their 20s, right? 20s and 30s. Over 70% of millennials, most of them are very young married couples. 70 plus percent of them don't think that shacking up and getting, having sex before marriage is wrong. We haven't ever told them, I guess. For some reason, we haven't told them that there's some things that you want to do in order. And in order, you want to get married before you... Should I say S-E-X and not say the real word in this church? Are we easily offended? I mean, they don't. I was amazed. I was like, what? At least know it's wrong. Thank God for forgiveness. Say amen to that. It's amazing how they thought, well, it's just part of it. That's just how we live. High personal levels of energy will cause you to be an overcomer. And we're going to need that in these last days because the enemy tries to get you bombarded with all the junk of life that you get tired and you get wore down. But man, if you want to be an overcomer, you start having these energy levels and you'll overcome by that blood of the Lamb. Here's the third one. They maintain priorities. Man, I like that. I mean, priorities. Okay, priorities in our life is God first, right? If you're married, it's then your spouse, your husband, or your wife. That's two. Kids are three. Y'all understand that, right? I know people that live for their kids, and then they wonder why they're getting divorced. No. Priorities. God first, then family, but in the family line is your husband or wife first, and then your kids, and then, you know, it can go on down the lines, you see. I think there's something about maintaining priority. Here's number four. Man, you've got courage. Have courage. The courage to stand up. You know, that man right there, he's got a red Make America Great hat on. That's going to take courage nowadays. I mean, being your age, how old are you, by the way? 19? When can you start packing? 21? You need the word of God then, brother. I mean, you want to talk about, it's causing people to not say they're for the President of the United States. Oh, man. No, we got to have courage to stand up for the principles that are right. When he does stuff wrong, then let's say it. But, man, when he does stuff right, let's stand for it. It's going to take courage, man. Courage is what we need in these last days, especially when the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. Number five, a characteristic of an overcomer is someone who is committed and dedicated. Man, that's why I love all of our, some of the people in our church that have a heart and a passion to get that kids' church built. It's because I see commitment, dedication. No, we're getting that thing built. We're not going to wait another 5 years. I mean, I know this church, we built it and we saved over $1 million because we did it ourselves. I mean, right, Joe Eddy? I mean, me and Joe Eddy and Howdy and there's a bunch of you in here. We're the ones that put these walls up. We'd learn how to tape and float, and then Joe Eddy said, well, let's get someone that really knows how to tape and float. I mean, I remember Brian sitting in the very center. Look up there, y'all. Look how tall that is. And when you're up there, oh my Lord, it's like the, you know, Empire State Building. It's way up there. I remember him being straddled that, and he had this monkey wrench. Is that what they call that thing? That spud wrench. The spud monkey, whatever. And that thing, it's just a wrench like this where you can stick it in there and line those holes up. And, boy, we would fit them things in, and then he would put the bolt in. He was not strapped, y'all. OSHA, they would have shut us down fast, John. Oh, Jesus. He said, I ain't got time for that. I said, yeah, you will if you die. Because then I'm going to have to spend a little time raising you from the dead. Because you're not dying on me. Man, that commitment, though. Wow. Being dedicated to something. Listen, hear me out. If God has put a dream on your heart and in your heart, I want you to not give up on it. You stay dedicated to it until it comes to pass. And I don't care how long it takes. You keep believing God. Here's the sixth one. The characteristic of an overcomer. Sometimes you're a little bit unorthodox. Maybe a little weird. You know, I mean, I'm talking someone that is so consumed with something. They're like, wow. Well, I'm here to tell you that's Howdy Byers right there. He travels with me and my kid. He went to Arizona for me, hauled the horses, and Dalton and Seth. And I said, where'd y'all eat? He said, Dad, we ate at the sandwich place a lot, Subway. And here, me, I said, well, that was hard on you, wasn't you? Because me and you are going to eat some french fries, right? That man is dedicated. I mean, if a piece of bacon even gets close to his fingers, I mean, that's sin to him. Bacon to me, just let it run all down my lips and the grease fly. Everybody's like, amen, brother. This morning, I didn't eat bacon. I said, no, just give me a burrito with potato, egg, and cheese and throw a little refried beans on it. Well, sometimes it's going to take a little bit of unorthodox way to see some goals happen in your life, because that's a characteristic. In other words, you're not trying to be like everybody else. You're being like who God called you to be. And if it's a little different, that's okay. I'm here to tell you, you study the Bible and you find out that the Bible calls us peculiar. A little bit different. Not weird, but just different. Why? Well, because Jesus lives on the inside of us, and it's real easy to live by the ways of the world. So I want to be peculiar. Look out 7, and I'm almost done. Characteristics of an overcomer is their goal-oriented. I remember when, and I still do it to this day, I'll place goals on the refrigerator. I'll place a scripture on the front part of my truck. I mean, I still believe in those kind of things. I've got a little lax on it, but I want to see those goals. I want to see how. I write them now in my book. A goal-oriented person is an overcomer. The 8th thing is they have a contagious enthusiasm. Is that you? Do you have this enthusiasm that people want to be around you? Or are you always aggravated at everything? No, I want that enthusiasm. Come on, come on, come on. You can do it. That's how John is, man. Let's get that kids' church built, Corey. Come on. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. Come on, call the money in. Where's the framers? Where's the guy? Come on, what's waiting? What's taking you so long, Howdy? Howdy's like, but Pastor Corey's got me doing everything else. I don't know, John. I mean, they got this enthusiasm. Come on, come on. You want to be a good fiddle player? I mean, you come and you start being trained like my... I mean, get your elbow up there a little bit better than that. I mean, have some posture about you. And man, they are enthusiastic. Come on, you're a winner. You know why there's a lot of people that are starting to come to this church? Because we have a lot of enthusiastic people that are trying to promote how good and awesome our Jesus is. And they begin to say, hey, it doesn't matter if you make a few mistakes. God's an overcomer, and he's a forgiver, and he has a lot of mercy. Matter of fact, the mercy is new every single morning to our God. And we receive all that in Jesus' name. You see, I want to have that contagious enthusiasm to see this church not stay the way it is, but we are to one day knock this wall out and build another church so that we can fit some more people. Amen. I know we have this attitude, I just want a little old small town, a small church. No, you don't. Because if you stay small, it means that people are not reproducing. And we need to reproduce people to give their lives to Jesus. And then when they get saved, we'll start them on the road to getting discipled and getting trained up. And then we'll go and get someone else to get born again. Because if we don't, we will be a church one day that gets old and dies. So we need to continue to reproduce. Man, when you've got that enthusiasm, I'll show you someone that keeps living a long life when they're 70s and 80s just by enthusiasm. They start saying, no, I'm not going to die. Don't speak that death stuff on me, boy. I'm going to live. I'm going to live until I'm ready to go home with the Lord Jesus. They're the ones that begin to speak life over us. No, they don't say things like, man, my body is just giving out. I'm just wearing down. I'm coming to the end of my life. No, they're the ones that say with enthusiasm, I am like an eagle. My youth is renewed like it. I am young-minded. Matter of fact, I'm going to start hanging out with some younger people. When I hang out with those youngins, I just feel regenerated and I'm just excited about life. You watch, those are the kinds that keep living. Because they have this enthusiasm, you see. They have this courageous or contagious enthusiasm. Here's the last thing and I'll close. And this is a great characteristic of an overcomer. They help others go. I mean, they're the ones that help others go. I mean, they're fighting to see other people succeed. I mean, it doesn't hurt my feelings if there's other churches bigger than us. I want to help them. Because that old competition spirit in ministry is terrible. But man, I'm telling you, when you can just help someone, when we were young, we was actually in high school and college. Mom and dad, my dad shod horses for a living. He run a ranch. We rode, he just didn't shoe them where his back hurt all the time, but we rode at least 10 horses from outside clients, from breaking them to the ones that were broke that just needed to be trained on some rope and stuff, you know, and we'd start training them. But most of them, we had to start from scratch. We had to put the saddle on them, get them calmed down, get them where they wouldn't buck. You know, we'd put them in the round pen, let that little round pen. It wasn't a big wide open space where they can have their a little free will. We need to control it. Because if you don't, that's when they buck. And if you get bucked off in the middle of the pasture, go ahead and be ready to walk home a long ways. It's because they are not dogs. They don't come back on command. They run off. Like, where's my horse? Where'd he go? They were just doing anything they could to survive financially. Had three boys going to college. The ranch that they were on, I think, gave them like $1,200 a month and a side of beef. $1,200 a month. That doesn't even pay for a truck payment nowadays. But they got a side of beef. Well, with three boys, we ate that fast. They got into, anybody remember Amway? Some of the young people, what? That's selling soap back then. Selling soap. And I remember, though, that one thing that I learned while they were in that, and we experienced that, is they were big on people helping people. Because if you helped someone downline, and I know some of you could be in some marketing businesses that are networked, if you help that one downline, it's going to help you. Well, you see, there's something about helping others go. Let me end with the scripture, Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 12, I believe. See if I can find it. Let me tell you what verse 2 says. Because see, we're trying to help others. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. You're going to have to help some others want to receive this, y'all. We can't be about ourselves. We can't be so selfish that we can't take what you learn here at church out there to everybody else that may not want to come to a comfortable church like this. But man, when we learn and we begin to tell our friends, and I look for people just as I'm walking by. And I looked out my window when y'all were coming in today, and I saw different things. I saw some enthusiasm, but I also saw people that would just walk right by someone, not say a word. That's not who we are. I think sometimes we can get so about self and our dreams and goals also that we're not willing to help other people. But a goal-oriented people, an overcomer, is someone that, no, I want to help you. I want to help you succeed. Because if I help you succeed, I just sowed a seed so that I can reap that harvest. I want to sow into your life. Man, I'm constantly looking for people to sow into. It may be the young kid at Taco Bell that the Lord told me to give her my last $20. I mean, I had a credit card, but I didn't have any more cash. And remember that? The Lord said, give it to her. And when I walked in there, and he told me as I was walking up, I hadn't said one word to her. And she was behind the counter, and he said, hey, bless this girl. And all I had $20. Of course, I wanted a bean and cheese burrito with no sauce and no onions. And a Dr. Pepper. This is a long time ago. He said, I want you to bless her. I get up there and she goes, what do you want? I'm like, well, I missed that. That God ain't telling me to give to this girl. I said, well, I want 2 bean and cheese burritos with no sauce and no onions, please. Oh, brother, we've got another special order. That's exactly how she said it. Here we go again. No sauce, no onions. And I'm thinking to myself, sir, are you sure? He said, do what I said. She said, what do you want to drink? And I'm talking rude. I mean, I'm serious. The flesh was coming up and I want to slap her. But then I remembered I'm a preacher. And I said, hey, the Lord wanted me to tell you how much he loves you. And you know, I just wanted to bless you with this. Immediately, tears started rolling. And when I came in, I forgot to tell you this, that girl can cuss. She was cussing. Oh, brother. I mean, attitude was terrible. But when I handed that to her, tears started rolling. And she said, my grandpa is a preacher. And I need to come back home. And I mean, it opened up the door. You see, when we get off of self and we start being about others, watch what happens, man. You see, because that is a characteristic of an overcomer. And I want you and I want me. I want to live by the spirit of an overcomer. I want to do things for God. Even if I do them wrong, I want to step out in faith. Yeah, maybe it'll be uncomfortable praying for someone in the middle of a bunch of other people. But you know what? I just want to please God. Because again, all things are possible to them that love the Lord. And things that are impossible for man are possible for our God. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just a great time in your presence. That, Father, we can be overcomers and we don't have to be limited in any way. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for being our God and giving us that spark this morning to get up, dust ourselves off, maybe even having to turn around and start all over. I ask you to give them courage, Lord. Give them that power that 1 Corinthians is talking about. That demonstrated power of God, where they see your love. They see that demonstrated power of healing in their lives. They see relationships mended. They see their finances begin to be healed. In Jesus' name. And Lord, as long as I have a breath and I have a voice to speak, regardless of how it sounds this morning, I'm going to continue to talk and preach about the goodness of you. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Come on, pray with me. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. I see issues with people's legs. You've had issues with your legs. And I see God beginning to heal them right now in Jesus' name. If that's you, just raise your hand and let me see it. Yeah, praise God. Amen. You receive that in Jesus' name. All y'all that raised your hand, there's a bunch of you. You just say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Someone that's been hurting here on your right side in your stomach area. I mean, I feel it from my ribs down right to my waist. I see God beginning to heal you this morning. If that's you, just let me see your hand. Okay, I appreciate that. Is that you? Both of y'all. Anybody else? Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Amen. Glory be to God. If you have back issues this morning, you've been struggling in your back, maybe even down in your low back, up to the middle, God's healing you right now. Who is that? Who is that? Amen. Receive that right now. Say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never met Jesus as Lord. I want to introduce him to you right now. He's the Son of God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the only begotten. And there's only one way, according to John chapter 14, to get to heaven. It's by him, Jesus. So the question this morning, is he your Lord? If he's not, I want you to make him your Lord. I want to emphasize Lord. Not just I know him, I want you to know him. In other words, if you died and left this earth, because listen to me, everybody, you're really not going to die. You will of the flesh, but you're going to live somewhere, either heaven or hell. Don't believe that hogwash, that the lies that are out there right now, that, you know, we just die, nothing happens to us. No, no, no. The Bible's truth. And when you leave this earth, you're going to go to a place called heaven or a place called hell. Well, I want you to go to heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. So the question is this morning, even if you're watching live at your on your phone or television or whatever, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Would you go to heaven when you left this earth, or would you go to hell? Do you not know? If you don't know, you need Jesus. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to have you ask Jesus to come into your life. And let's do it right now. Let's just pray the prayer. All you Christians, I want you to pray it with me. And you're going to learn this prayer, but if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to pray this prayer and ask him to come in. And I'm here to tell you, if you left this earth or you stood before God Almighty, he would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want you to give your life to him. Give it to him by praying this prayer. You ready? Would you all pray it? Out of your mouth, I want you to declare this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come into my life, Jesus. Save me. Thank you, Jesus, that you're my friend, You're my Savior. You're my Lord. And I thank you for that. I believe that you've been raised from the dead. And today I'm saved. And when I leave this earth, I'm going to heaven and not hell. But while I live here on this earth, I'm going to serve you. So I need some help. Teach me, sir. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus for the first time this morning, I want you to be bold enough. Don't you be ashamed. I want you to be bold enough to say, I just prayed that prayer. I gave my life to Jesus this morning. If that's you, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, that was me. And then just put your hand right back down. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you right where you're at, raise your hand, and just say, I said that prayer and I meant it. I gave my life to Jesus today. And then just put your hand back down. You ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Glory be to God. Thank you. Anybody else? Just raise it up. Say, I received that. I just gave my life to Jesus. I want to hand you a Bible. I'm going to hand you a Bible. Inside that Bible, for you people, if you don't mind, there's a little card. I want you to fill it out if you don't mind here in just a little bit. But here's the deal. You're now my brother or sister in Christ. We're here for you. We need you, but man, we're here for you as well. So thank you for coming and giving your life to Jesus, man. Now we can start growing together. Amen. All right, look at me. Thank God for people that gave their lives to the Lord. Always happens. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, you're good. Okay. Amen. For the movie?